There's the legend, Chuck Crabb. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, sitting here enjoying it.
Can you see me?
Yeah.
Well, I can't. If you look outside, you're not going to see much. So please take your time.
We can't see the Presbyterian Church or the tree line of campus.
No, we get to about Washington Street, and that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
So that means driving in this morning, please give yourself some extra time. And again, no point in it. It's Friday. Big show Friday. Sit back and listen. Enjoy it. Joe Smith joins us. Any fog on the east side there, Smitty?
A little cloudy on the east side here, boys. Good morning, Chuck.
Hello, Joseph. Yep.
Ready to roll tonight.
Absolutely.
67th year of high school basketball on the airwaves. How cool is that? The South Panthers have already seen what one really good team looks like, taking on the New Albany Bulldogs last Saturday and falling in a tight one there. And, Joe, it doesn't get much easier because the Bedford North Lawrence Stars, they've only played once. They played the Northsiders.
Yeah, last weekend. Yeah.
Had a young man throw up 38 of them.
Yep.
His last name's not Bailey, is it?
No.
It's Ray, but they do have a Bailey on the team.
All right, so a big battle for that. We've got a huge night of girls' hoops as well. We've had a busy week on the high school beat. Take us away.
Well, I tell you, it's back to the high school airwaves tonight as J.R. Holmes' 15th-ranked South Panthers. They figured to get a big test playing at the Fieldhouse down at B&L against Jamie Hudson Stars. Chalk Talk at 7 o'clock. John Callahan joins me for the tip at 7:30. Our 67th season of broadcasting the high school game here on the airwaves. South throws its relatively young, smaller Panthers, Jamie Hudson's crew, a senior Layden basketball club, Braxton Day, who lit up Bloomington North for 38 in the season opener, not to mention a 17-point win last weekend. So it'll be stiff opposition as the Southsiders open up the first of three consecutive road tilts here in early December. Sophomore Phil King will run the point tonight for the visitors. The senior Tucker Blackwell has posted two straight 26-point efforts. The junior Josh Hall's coming off a 20-10 double-double, as he had a great game against top-ranked New Albany in the ball game last week. But this will be a new test for all of these untested young sophomores, now juniors, and freshmen, now sophomores that J.R. has assembled. High on J.R.'s defensive checklist is taking away drives by Day to the hoop. He hit South with 18 last year as a junior, and they're looking for better containment and help side defense tonight against Day and the Stars. A late rally prevented an upset of the Bulldogs last week for Bloomington South, so they could not finish. They look to do so tonight. Sophomore forward Chance Coyle looks to get going offensively. He's kind of struggled shooting the first two games, but Chance is a young sophomore with plenty of talent. We look for him to have a strong game tonight. Senior Hunter Lloyd will get his third straight to start. He's averaging just under 10 a ball game here through the first two. He'll start at the other forward spot. The Panthers are shooting well, 51% after two, and that'll have to continue this evening. B&L hit 71% in beating Bloomington North on the road last week, so defense will key this win, hopefully the first of three on the road for the Panthers. It's their first big road challenge of the young season. Uncharacteristically, Andy Hodson's North Cougs have Friday night off. They'll play at Center Grove Saturday. Dave Mahurin's Edgewood Mustangs, they've been idle since that South loss before Thanksgiving. They host Cloverdale, who's 2-1 tonight, 7:30 in the Mustang Corral. And like Bloomington South, Edgewood faces a defensive challenge in the junior guard Cooper Neese, who's averaging 25 points a ball game through three for the Clovers. Braden Patton, Cole Craddock, and Cooper Bybee all had double-figure scoring games against Bloomington South. So Edgewood will look for its first tonight, and it's key because it opens up the WIC East Division. All three Monroe County girls varsity squads are in action on this first Friday of December. Larry Winter's South Panthers knocked off previously unbeaten Seymour back on Tuesday night. They're home to Terre Haute North in Conference Indiana play. Jason Spears' North Cougs look for its second win. They're home to Southport. They lost last night down in Jasper as Sarah Hansen scored 9 points, but the Wildcats too much for the Cougs. They lose 65-32. Edgewood is 4-4, and they begin tonight's WIC East doubleheader in the Corral alongside Cloverdale at 6 o'clock. Gary Sims' Lady Mustangs have won their last two. Don't forget Bob Lovell, Indiana Sports Talk, following our Panther game tonight. A couple of other notes. Edgewood freshman Austin Haskett had 19 points, and Kyle Rogers 11 points, 5 rebounds. Cooper Thacker had 6 rebounds as Chuck Souders' freshman won its first of the year, beating Eastern 45-33. And down a level, Joe Boddy's 7th grade 8 Tri-North Cagers lost to Bachelor 30-20. 25 turnovers got Tri-North in trouble in that one last night. In the pool, it was the first boys' duel of the year for Dave Tanner's Northsiders. They went down to B&L and won 123-62. The girls also won. They're off to a 4-0 start. They won every event but one. A young sophomore, Raymond LeBond, we'll hear a lot about him this winter. He posted 4 lifetime bests for the fellas. And senior guest Delacqua, we talked a lot about him on that tennis team of Ken Heidinger's last fall. He is out for swimming. He won the 100 free. Freshman Melinda Wang and senior Sarah Kobe each won 2 events for the girls, and senior Alicia DeMars had a best 202 points off the 1-meter board. As they say, the girls unbeaten. A nice sweep for the Cougars. Boys win, girls win in the pool down at B&L Thursday night.
All right, Joe, busy times, and we'll see it all tip off tonight with the boys' hoops here on the airwaves. 7 o'clock is Chalk Talk, and 7:30 is the tip-off against B&L. I'm going to start a service out there. It's going to be, if you want Glass to go to bed early, you just have to throw in a couple bucks, because every time I do, you get some kind of miraculous NFL finish. Well, number one, Kentucky night. Loses to UCLA last night by 10 in Westwood. Stevie Alford's crew beats up on the Wildcats. John Calipari now becomes the first coach in NCAA history to lose as a number one team in the country in November and December 4 times in his career.
Yeah.
So good stuff for that.
I remember one December when they lost.
I believe it was a Saturday afternoon about, what was that, about 7 o'clock or so, 7:30? Christian Watford from about 26 feet.
Nice.
Good stuff there. Aaron Rodgers threw 170 yards in the air, Joe.
I saw that. I fell asleep and then woke up and saw the big guy jump in the end zone and outleap everybody and grab her down and game over. Packers
I guess the Lions wanted to stand behind all those Packers in the deepest part of the end zone. And
well, there was a crowd in the end zone, I'll say that. Yeah, so I don't even know who caught the ball, but he was
Richard Rodgers. Rodgers from Rodgers.
Oh, okay.
70 yards in the air. The Packers trailed 17-0 at halftime, where I turned it off and decided to do other things. And the play before that, Joe, is going to be the one that's talked about. The Packers had a 52 lateral play, but somebody hit Aaron Rodgers in the face mask, and they got one untimed down.
Oh, the famed handy face. Yeah.
Which you can't touch a quarterback's head, and the lineman for Detroit today isn't real happy about that call. And how about this? How about you get somebody in front? There's a great picture that shows the Green Bay Packer player standing in the front of the line, catching the ball, nobody in front of him. Well, it's the NFL. There are no – you can't rewrite these. Let's see. We had the Browns and Ravens on Monday night, where you had a blocked field goal as time expired to end the game with a touchdown. And Thursday night football, you get a 70-yard Hail Mary to end the game with a touchdown on the final play. You can't make this stuff up, can you?
No, I don't think so. And Sunday night's NFL game went right down to the wire, didn't it? Or wasn't that a fluke?
Yes. Overtime. No, Denver scored. No, they got a stop, and they came back, and then they
all
scored.
All week long it's been happening,
So that means a bunch of blowouts this weekend. Great. Colts hopefully will be one of them. The last time the Colts played in Pittsburgh, they gave up 510 yards passing to Ben Roethlisberger, and so, I don't know, 5 or 6 touchdowns.
51 points.
I know it was a lot. That's our Sunday night game, 7:30 Bob Lamy pregame. SEC title game, 3:30 tomorrow, followed by the Big Ten championship game here on the airwave. So a busy weekend going on. We'll talk IU's busy weekend, Joe, coming up at 8:45 and get caught up on all the things in the world of the Hoosiers.
Sounds good. We'll be here.
And Joe Smith checks in with us as well. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
How are we doing, Glass? Julie, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Joe. Good. How are you?
Well, you know.
Single,
on the move
single.
Again.
That's right. Yeah, there you go.
On the move again, but surviving. It's Friday. New season high school basketball for us on the airwaves. So excited about that. So we move through.
Exactly right. And this is Joe's 5th appearance with me this week. 5
wow.
for 5.
Yeah, it's
busy. One of those weird weeks, wasn't it?
You've hit for the cycle plus. Not a lot of 5 hit games, but you've knocked all
haven't
of them out of the park.
Huh?
You've knocked them all out of the park, because we do Mondays.
About that.
We do Mondays and Fridays anyhow. And then we had the day after Hoosier Hoops on Tuesday, the day after Hoosier Hoops on Thursday. So we said, what the hell, let's go live from Durham on Wednesday to get a preview. Yeah. So it's been a great week of basketball, Joe, and the Hoosiers. Well, they have some room to grow. I think that was the motto after the game. We were all reminded it was only December 2nd or 3rd, depending on which 30 seconds of that press conference you watched and what time you watched it. And Indiana's schedule for the remaining non-conference games should get them healthy. Notre Dame is in 2 weeks, so they'll have three chances before that to get ready for the Fighting Irish, plus a week of finals in there. The Hoosiers, Joe, looking to bounce back from the rough patch of form at Duke on Wednesday night, welcomes Morehead State on Saturday. Let us know what we need to know in the world of hoops.
Well, after the Big Ten captured its fifth, the Big Ten ACC Challenge in 7 years, the title on Wednesday night, readjusted Big Ten Conference stats listing the basketball Hoosiers through eight as 10th worst to last in four different defensive categories. So it's easy to see where I'm headed as Morehead State brings a 5-1 record to the McCracken Court Saturday night at 7. Let's try this again. Keep the man in front of you. Guard the dribble. Should be focus number one, whether it's Duke, Morehead State, or whoever. Coach Tom talked post-game, as you'll recall, when we mentioned it on Thursday morning about individual pride of guarding your responsibility. Let's infuse the effort part here. When pushed and shoved, let's push and shove back. Get your position in the paint. Block out your man. Defensive components of the game, which is sorely lacking right now as we move into Game 9. Let's hope for improvement the rest of this month. Terry Morin's 5-2 women the weekend off after beating Georgia Tech, doing its part in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. They're off to Coach Terry's old stomping grounds, Indiana State, next Tuesday night. Oh, I'm so happy for Emma Fisher, the left-handed swinging South Panther link lady, signing on for a scholarship with Clint Wallman out at IU, so Emma stays put in her hometown. Following her during her outstanding high school career, she led Dustin Carver's crew to seventh place last fall at state. She finished seventh individually for the Panthers and advanced to state in 3 of her 4 years, hits the ball a mile off the tee. Super young lady, couldn't be happier for her. She'll major in cinema and media arts studies and production at IU next fall, Emma Fisher. Indoor track and field season, a winter start this weekend for Ron Helmer's men and women. The Hoosier Open coming up at Gladstein Fieldhouse this weekend. Trio of Amanda Janney's field hockey Hoosiers have earned national regional honors. Kate Barber, the outstanding junior defender, was a first-team All-West Region honoree along with Sydney Supica, a second-team and outstanding freshman goalie Noelle Roeder, who was also second-team. The winter ATT Nationals and the Hoosierland Invitational ongoing at the CBAC the rest of the weekend. Former North Coogan state champion Max Irwin, part of setting a record on that 400 medley relay team last night at the CBAC. Max also won the 500 free. Meanwhile, out in Washington State, Kennedy Goss was 8th in the women's 400 free. Miranda Tucker, 11th in the 200 IM. That was second fastest her time in school history. And Blake Perrone, the up-and-coming outstanding swimmer for Ray Lewis, finished 22nd overall. Competition runs through the weekend. And Kevin Wilson back off recruiting trail. And those coveted pre-bowl practices start tomorrow, and recruiting activities as well. Should know who and where come Sunday night, and we'll know early part of the week. That well-deserved contract extension coming up for Coach Kevin as well. So it's great to see the footballers back at work this first full weekend of December and the rest of this month, leading up to its first bowl since 07.
Yeah, it's exciting times, Joe, and we'll figure out who that bowl opponent is coming up Sunday, what, afternoon, evening,
yep,
somewhere in there. And then all the travel plans can be made. We told everybody to keep an eye at iuhoosiers.com as well, as they will have the first to have all that information up if you need, just like Southwest Airlines. If you want to get away, well, you might have a chance. And it might be cold, it might be hot, but the great news is, like you mentioned, we are in the conversation, and it's exciting.
We're in it. Means a big deal. It is a big deal.
And when you go on that road recruiting, you don't have to explain, hey, Won't be able to call you for a couple days. Wow, bowl game. Yeah, it's nice. That's a good problem to have.
Good problem.
Hoops tonight. How about before we get tonight, how about the game last night on the airwaves? My goodness, for the second time this week, we've had the final play of the NFL game of the night decided. And as you mentioned, Sunday night's game was awesome. So three games in a row.
It's just been a zany week, hasn't it?
Decided on the final play. Remember Detroit and New England on Sunday night. Detroit, New England, you idiot. Denver, New England. The Broncos get a stop. Guy runs a touchdown, run the next play. Game's over. Why? Well, each team had the ball once. Monday night, Cleveland looking to win a game on a last-second field goal. The Ravens block and run back for a touchdown.
Yeah.
And then last night, Brett Favre, who I like to call that, even though it's Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre throws 170 yards in the end zone. And Green Bay wins on a Hail Mary, Joe.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Hell, he did.
It only covered.
And threw it to a kid by the name of Rodgers. Is that what you told me?
Yeah, Richard Rodgers.
Richard Rodgers.
Richard Rodgers.
Well, I tell you what, he outjumped everybody in a crowded end zone. I saw that.
He backed right into all of them and said, "Thanks, I'll take it."
Yep. Boom.
And that only covered the spread and took the over the total. So just in case you think the NFL's fixed, all it took was a face mask penalty the play before for an untimed down and a 70-yard Hail Mary. You know what that is, Joe? That's bad luck. That's a bad beat. Yeah. Bad beat. Now, we look at this weekend, SEC title game on the airwaves, pregame at 3:30. Big Ten championship will follow that. Colts and Pittsburgh, Sunday night football, plenty to do. The Hoosiers hoping to get back on track, Joe. They have four more games before the Big Ten season starts, and they are McNeese State, IPFW, Morehead State, and Kennesaw State. So if we could just change IPFW to IPFW State, we would have four states. And then Notre Dame is in there as well. So the Hoosiers have some work to do, and they'll get healthy tomorrow night with Morehead State, we hope.
Well, we hope, but we also remember last December in Washington State.
43 in a row.
That's a bad memory.
43-game home non-conference winning streak. As a 13-point favorite. That did happen. Those are facts. They tend to get in the way of a lot of really good
arguments. Is that what it was, 43? I forgot what. I knew it was getting up there.
Yep, that was it. So, all right, bring us home a winner. We'll have plenty to do Monday morning. And, again, safe travels down to Bedford. We'll be listening tonight. Chalk Talk at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, we're kicking off our 67th season of high school hoops down at B&L at the Fieldhouse. Stars and Panthers, 7 o'clock Chalk Talk. Edgewood's home to Cloverdale. They got a boy-girl WIC East division opening twin bill. Girls go at 6, boys to follow against Cloverdale. North off, they go to Center Grove tomorrow. South starting the first of three road games, by the way. They go down to Floyd Central tomorrow night, and then we'll be with them in Indianapolis at Southport a week from tonight. We've got the Bloomington Invitational Wrestling 2 class going on. Starts tomorrow, 9 a.m. on the Panther mats on the south side.
That's why we're always busy on Monday. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate your time.